Scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. Another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the household came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your wheat in your field? How then was it weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles and be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Excuse me. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." May the Lord add the blessing of to the reading of his word.
I appreciate that reading. Have you ever heard the saying, "Well, there's good news and there's bad news"? I've been telling a few of those during the fish fry yesterday. I'll share one of them with you. A lawyer comes in and says, "I have some good news and some bad news." And the client says, "Well, give me the bad news first." The lawyer says, "The bad news is the DNA tests show that it was your blood they found all over the crime scene." "Oh, I'm ruined. What's the good news?" "The good news is your cholesterol's down to 130. Good news, bad news jokes are very much like real life in that as we continue on our faith journey, we will undoubtedly have good news and bad news. If there is anyone in this congregation who has not received bad news at some point in their life, please raise your hand. I'd like to know who that is. That being said, we will also undoubtedly have people in our lives who bring about good situations and bad situations. Some unintentional, others quite intentionally. If you've ever been going down state line and hit by a car while you're sitting at a light, as I have, some people bring some bad situations into your life. But why is that? Well, in God's infinite wisdom, he created a world wherein we have good and bad. After all, if we had no bad, how would we know what is good? It is like a door. There is a front and a back to a door. You can't have one without the other. If you have a door, there's going to be a front, there's going to be a back. We cannot have just one side of a door. So when folks ask, why does God allow bad things to exist, perhaps the best possible answer is, so we'll know when we have it good. Let's look at our scripture. "And the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers.'" Let them both grow together until the harvest. Do you have weeds in your life? Is it difficult at times for you to figure out if you're a weed or wheat? Interestingly, we may see someone as a weed while they see us as their weed. After all, we all have different perspectives. Perhaps we may be viewed as a weed because of the decisions we make. If our decisions seem irrational to others, they may easily believe we are part of the problem in the world rather than the answer. And we may have no awareness of what we have done or what we are doing. Have you heard someone say, "Perception is reality"? Well, it is. We see this in our society all the time. We all know there are truly people with distorted views of the world. Some of these folks are called crazy or terrorist. Yet, crazy or not, these folks become so convinced their view is the correct view that they act according to their perceptions. They act according to their perceptions of how things should be. There's the story of a man walking past a farm and noticed a farmer feeding pigs in a most unusual manner. The farmer would lift a pig up to a nearby apple tree and the pig would eat the apples off the tree directly. The farmer would move the pig from one apple to another until the pig was satisfied. Then he would start again with another pig. The man watched this activity for some time with great astonishment. Finally, it was more than he could take. He walked over to the farmer and asked, "This is the most inefficient method of feeding pigs that I can imagine. Just think of the time you would save if you would simply shake the apples off the tree and let the pigs eat them from the ground." The farmer looked puzzled and replied, "What's time to a pig?" Some people spend their lives in like manner. Our perspectives are distorted. We need to ask ourselves, have we been spending our time lifting pigs rather than harvesting the fruit? If we have been lifting pigs rather than harvesting the fruit, it may explain why others see us as a problem. God created us to be harvesters, and Jesus taught the value of being a harvester. So what happens when something or someone bad happens to you? And you heard me, something or someone bad happens to you. If someone who is affecting you in a bad way comes along and you accept what they do, you've just bought into the bad way. But you know what? That person is a spoiler. That is, they spoil what is good. You may be on the right track. You may be fine, but these people enter your life and pull you away from what you know to be right because their perspective is going to take over as they continually bombard you with how they see the world. We've all heard the saying, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. And I've probably seen instances where it does apply to people, but does it actually happen with fruit? Yes. As they ripen, some fruits like apples and pears produce a gaseous hormone called ethylene, which is, among other things, a ripening agent. When you store fruits together, the ethylene each piece emits prods the other around them to ripen further, and vice versa. Which, by the way, just as a tip, if you want to ripen an avocado quickly, stick it in a paper bag with an apple overnight. Did you know that? The riper a piece of fruit is, the more ethylene it produces. An overripe fruit gives off more ethylene, eventually leading to a concentration of the gas that's enough to overripen all of the fruit. Given the right conditions and enough time, one apple can push all the fruit around it to ripen and eventually rot. The same is true of people. One bad apple, one spoiler, can affect everyone around them. Sometimes spoilers come in the form of commercialism. Have you ever heard of the woman who hated Mother's Day? If you think the spirit of Mother's Day has been spoiled by commercialism of cards, flowers, and once-a-year sincerity, you stand united with the woman credited with giving us the annual event. West Virginian Anna Jarvis was so horrified by the monster she helped create in 1914, she spent most of her later years campaigning to have the second Sunday in May removed from the calendar as the day to honor your mother. In the end, Jarvis lost the fight. The woman, who was never a mother herself, exhausted her financial resources and ruined her mental health in that fight. She died alone in 1948 in an asylum at the age of 84. Just before her death, Jarvis told a local reporter, "I devoted my entire life to Mother's Day, and the racketeers and grafters have taken it over." She simply wanted a day to honor and remember mothers, but in her mind, it didn't turn out that way. Jarvis bequeathed all of her letters and other writings to Mary Baldwin College in Virginia. In 1914, Jarvis spearheaded a campaign to help persuade U.S. President Woodrow Wilson to set aside May's second Sunday as a national day for recognition. She orchestrated a letter-writing campaign to Wilson, lobbied influential politicians and clergymen, and distributed brochures arguing about the importance of a national day for mothers. Jarvis's cause came from admiration for her recently deceased mother, Anna Maria, and others like her who had been an inspiration. But by the early 1920s, she was sickened by the commercial circus she had helped create. She felt the day had nothing to do with celebrating the real achievements of women. Jarvis spent her latter days crashing floral company conventions to protest and urging card companies to give the money they made from Mother's Day to the poor. At one Mother's Day convention where flowers were being sold, she was arrested for disturbing the peace. She even launched a lawsuit to stop a Mother's Day festival from being held. For Jarvis, her mother was an inspiration. She wanted to honor her. Yet the spoilers attached themselves to something pure of heart and eventually took ownership in ways she never imagined. Weeds. Do we end Mother's Day because of them? Or do we let them coexist? Oftentimes when others enter our lives, we have trouble discerning if they are in fact weeds. Yet no matter what they are, it should not affect who we are. We may grow with the weeds, but we need not become one. We need not be overtaken by them. The Lord says we can coexist. One of my favorite scenes from a television show is a scene from one of the Star Trek Next Generation series. For those of you who are familiar with that show, you know there's a character named Worf, and he is a Klingon who is part of the Federation, which in and of itself is amazing. And he is captured by the evil Dominion. They intend to use him as a practice dummy in hand-to-hand combat for their lethal ground troops, and so they do. They bring out soldier after soldier to take Worf on, and they go at it. It's never very long before the bad guys get tired of getting beat up and they tap out and they quit. So after Worf's been taking on all comers for most of the day, they finally bring out their biggest and baddest, the one warrior they know will be able to win. They begin to battle and Worf is just too weak from the day's struggles. He is little more than a punching bag for the bad guy to work out on. But Worf will not tap out. Like all the other beaten soldiers, he keeps getting up no matter how many times he is knocked down, no matter how injured he is. He simply will not quit. It is obvious that this valiant warrior has won the respect and admiration of all the Dominion troops, including the one now beating him up. They all begin to beg him to tap out and to quit, and he will not. Finally, out of sheer exasperation, the warrior who is beating him stops and taps out himself. When asked by his enraged commander why he has done this, he says, "I cannot defeat this man. I can only kill him." That is exactly what the weeds, the spoilers, said to our Lord when they realized they could not beat him. Tap out. Quit. Don't do it. But he would not. So in the end, they killed him. Think about that for a moment. I cannot defeat this man. I can only kill him. And in killing our Lord Jesus Christ, they made him stronger. He accomplished a mission. I don't know about you, but my goal is to hear the weeds, the spoilers, say those words about me someday. I will not tap out. I will not be overtaken by the weeds. I will not allow the spoilers of life to ruin me. I pray for each one here that as you go through life and the spoilers, the weeds grow up around you, that you trust in the Lord, that it's going to make you stronger. Don't tap out. Don't give in. Don't become a part of it. Just keep growing, growing in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God create in you the wheat His Son so dearly wants to harvest. Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we come before You today oftentimes feeling the weeds growing up around us, feeling that we're choking and that we're having a difficult time making it through this life, but we know You're there with us, You're walking with us, You're holding us, and we give You thanks and praise that You uplift us, You strengthen us and energize us. Be with us this day and throughout the week and indeed throughout our lives, that we may continually grow in Your light and in Your name. For we ask this in Your Son's holy name. Amen.